Hello and welcome to the Outlander Sasnack Fan Podcast. I'm Ajeline.
I'm Gracie.
And it is just a podcast where we talk about the latest thing that's going on with Outlander. And, well, this week there was some pretty big news. So, what news was that?
Well, this week we got some casting news. And the casting news was that Australian actor David Barry is going to be playing Lord John Grey.
Yay!
Yes, yes.
And he was born in Canada.
Technically, he's an anchor baby. Yeah. Just kidding. Don't hold that against me. Was just a joke.
Yeah.
So, because of the casting of David Barry as Lord John, we decided that we were actually going to dedicate a whole podcast to Lord John Grey and what we love about him. So, of course, there are going to be spoilers. Just forewarned is forearmed.
Yep.
So, let's get into it.
Okay, well, Lord John, of course, is introduced to us in Voyager as the warrant of the prison where Jaime is being held after the Battle of Culloden, which I think is, what, 7 years after the actual battle? Because he was, like, in the forest or something? Anyway, so at first they're adversaries, and the two eventually form a bond and a friendship over time. And Jaime spends in the prison. Anyways, so John actually ensures that Jaime stays in England as an indentured servant rather than being shipped off to the American colonies. And their friendship lasts even after his time as an indentured servant is up and throughout the remaining books.
Yep. There are definitely several points of contention in their relationship, however. Initially, Lord John being gay was kind of an issue for Jaime, because Jaime had suffered that horrible abuse at the hands of Blackjack Randall. And the part I remember is actually when John puts his hand on Jaime's. And Jaime kind of, like, really goes from zero to 100 real quick, you know? And I think later on he says if he'd been any other man, he probably would have killed him. Just because of what happened with Blackjack Randall.
Yeah.
But eventually he doesn't hold that against John, you know? He understands that John is nothing like Blackjack Randall. Then, of course, there's the other part of contention. Which happens later on, way later, actually, where John ends up marrying Claire because they're both told that Jamie's dead. And then John confesses to Jaime when he comes back to life that, hey, dude, I kind of had sex with your wife. And,
yeah, so
Jaime
for people
take
who,
that very well.
Well, yeah, he definitely doesn't. Now, for people who, you know, either have read the novels or not, again, spoiler. What ends up happening is Jaime goes over to Scotland to bring his sister back to America, and the ship that they were initially supposed to go on ends up getting lost to sea. So that's why Claire and Lord John Grey think that Jaime is dead. And so they both are mourning Jaime, like the loss of Jaime, because they both loved him so much. And they were kind of like, didn't they get drunk or something? And they,
I can't remember.
I'm pretty sure they did. But anyways, they were like in another world.
There was alcohol involved.
Yeah, and they were like kind of in their own world where they were actually having sex with Jaime, like in their minds, and that's how that happened. So, fun fact. And yeah, Claire at first, when they find out, you know, Jaime's actually alive, is like to Lord John, don't you dare tell him. And of course his conscience.
Don't you fucking tell him.
Don't you fucking
don't
tell
do
him.
It.
Don't do it. Oh my God. Okay, sorry. Yeah, so he ends up, you know, telling him, and Jaime kind of was like, is that so? You know, kind of cool head. But he ends up kind of fucking Lord John Grey over because of that. Which, you know, I'm not going to go even further into the story, but it's not good. And yeah. So.
Which I do think they reconcile after that anyway. So.
Yeah. It's been a while since I've read that book. So now, also kind of moving on, one of the main reasons that we love John is because of his fierce loyalty to Jamie. Despite the difference in backgrounds, John does whatever he can to help Jamie out, whether it's ensuring that he isn't shipped off to the colonies or taking care of Jamie's own son, raising him after the death of Genevieve, the mother of Jamie's son. Is that how you say it right? Whatever.
I thought it was Geneva.
Geneva. Whatever. It's my thing. I mispronounce things. I do what I want. But we also see a John decide to protect Claire in the only way that he knows how to after discovering Jamie is supposedly dead.
Yeah. John is very intelligent. You know, he's a true gentleman. He and Jamie are always matching wits with each other, and it's actually them playing chess that causes them to bond with one another, you know? So that's how their friendship starts, is because initially the chess matches were, you know, a chance for Jamie to talk about what the prisoners needed and, you know, John to try and help out in any way he could. So that's how they actually started off their relationship. It's a far cry from when they actually meet the first time, when John actually refers to himself as William Grey, which is in Dragonfly and Amber. And it's just before the Battle of Preston Pans, and John tries to kill Jamie while Jamie's taking a piss. And Jamie ends up breaking his arm before gathering information by using Claire. You know, you saw it in season two.
Yeah, exactly.
So after he gets the information from William, quote unquote, he has his guys tie John to a tree. And it's because of that information that they are able to have a victory at Preston Pans. And it's also why John pretty much hates Jamie at first sight once he's overseeing Ardsmere.
Now, the relationship between Jamie and John is best explored in The Scottish Prisoner. It is sort of an in-between book that takes place during Voyager that focuses more on their relationship and how John becomes a sort of surrogate father to Jamie's illegitimate son, William. And it also focuses on how they actually form their bond together and create a strong friendship. It's also the third novel in the Lord John Grey series.
Yeah, that's actually a series that I have not read yet. I have read Scottish Prisoner, though, which all of the books kind of work as a standalone. You don't necessarily have to read them in order to get them. You know, that's how Diana wrote them, is kind of standalone novels. So even if you haven't read any of the previous Lord John books, you'll still be okay if you read Scottish Prisoner, especially if you read Voyager.
Having a little yawn there.
Yeah, a little bit. It's also worth noting that despite this friendship, John, of course, has the biggest, hugest crush on Jamie. Like, he's totally in love with Jamie.
He's starry-eyed.
It's so noticeable, actually, that I think in Voyager, when Claire meets John for the first time, she kind of has, like, this back-off attitude about him because she sees the way John's kind of looking all hungry eyes at Jamie, and she's like, fuck off, dude, that's my man. which they end up having a very close relationship even after that. But at first she's like, you know, he's almost like another woman that's coming to hit on your man, and you're like, bitch, back off. Like, that's the same vibe she kind of throws out. Like,
yeah.
Put the fuck on.
So with John's character, he also has quite the sense of humor, something that Jamie certainly has as well, even though we don't really see it much on TV, which is kind of a pity. Now, one of the best parts of Drums of Autumn, and perhaps, you know, the whole series, is when William, which is Jamie's, you know, illegitimate son, ends up falling into an outhouse shit pile and then comes back up. He is covered with shit. And John just looks at him and goes, "What news from the underworld, Persephone?" And I love that line. It is honestly one of my favorite lines. I thought it was so funny. I just burst out laughing when I heard it.
It's one that resonates so well, you remember it.
Yeah.
Kind of like, imagine Sassenach to going into a brothel in possession of a very large sausage. Like, that's an iconic line. You know exactly what part of the book it's in. You know what's going on around it, and it's hilarious.
Honestly, if that line is not in the TV show, I will be very upset.
It's like, I'm going to go to Ron Moore with pitchforks and bonfire.
Yeah, exactly.
It's easily one of the funniest lines in this series. Another thing about John is how eloquent he actually is. I mean, the man was raised as the son of a duke, so he knows how to spout a good turn of phrase. And we see this almost immediately after Jaime manages to catch him in Dragonfly and Amber. You know, and he's got his broke arm and shit. And he's like, "Whereas you, sir, are a conscienceless outlaw with a reputation for thievery and violence. Your face and description are on broadsheets throughout Hampshire and Sussex. I recognized you at once. You're a rebel and an unprincipled voluptuary." So,
quite a mouthful.
He knows how to speak.
Yeah, no kidding. So another aspect of John's character that we love is how comfortable he is with his sexuality. Now, back then, being homosexual was definitely not a good thing because, you know, I mean, we're still seeing prejudice here in the present day. So only imagine what it was like, you know, several centuries back. And only the rich could really get away with it. But he had actually been caught in an affair with another man, which is why he was sent to lord over Ardsmuir. I'm saying it
Ardsmuir.
Wrong. Ardsmuir. Anyways,
yeah.
The prison. Then, so his reputation, though, is not really that damaged. But he has no intentions of ever marrying either. Until it comes to looking after William, Jamie's son. And then he decides that Jamie's son needs both a mother and father to guide him into adulthood. And that is why he actually marries William's mother's sister, Isabel. So that he has a mother figure.
Yeah. Another thing is, you know, I actually like that he's not exactly a pompous asshole. You know, he's the son of a duke, but that doesn't stop him from getting his hands dirty, you know, picking himself up by his bootstraps.
Mm-hmm.
He treats everyone equally. It doesn't matter if you were born rich or poor. You know, if you treat him with respect, he'll treat you with respect. That's just part of himself. And he carries himself like a true gentleman, no matter who he's speaking to. He's definitely one of Diana Gabaldon's most complex characters, and in some ways, he is the perfect foil to Jamie's brusque appearance and mannerisms. Whereas Jamie has a very, how do I put this? He has a very gruff sense of humor, you know? He's not afraid to say, you know, things like, you know, and Claire's like, "Your lips are blue," and he's like, "So are my balls. Want to warm them?" You know?
Good lord.
Like, yeah, that's, even though Jamie and John both have a sense of humor, you can tell Jamie's is more in line with, like elementary, you know, in comparison. Not that it's a bad thing. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
You know.
It's crude, but it's funny.
Exactly. His is more crude. That's the word I was looking for. Jamie's sense of humor is more crude, whereas John's is more elevated, but it doesn't matter because both of them are really funny, witty men.
Yeah.
So there are plenty of things that they have in common. They just have them in common differently.
Exactly. So another thing about Lord John Grey is, despite being smaller than the average man of the time, so like the man was short. He's every bit as strong, ruthless, and determined as any other guy, and he isn't afraid to step up and fight if need be. He's brave. He's courageous. He's actually a truly honorable man. Extremely loyal, as much like Claire's loyalty to Jaime, which is so evident throughout his appearances in the main novels, as well as in his own set of novels.
Yeah, honestly, if it wasn't for him, I don't think William would have turned out as good as he did. I mean, William is a lot like Bree in that it takes you a while to get warmed up to them. You know, I don't know what it is about Jamie's kids, but they, when they first start out, they're like pretentious little brats.
You know? Well, you know what? I can't say that I quite like that, but it's more realistic because, you know, no kid is perfect. And, you know, they kind of show the, you know, bad aspects and the, you know, being a teenager asshole.
Yeah, when we really first meet Jamie's son, William, for the first time, he's a teenager, you know, after this long absence. And so, of course, he's going to have his moments of rebellion and brattiness and priggishness, you know. Mm-hmm. And Bree was barely, you know, into her 20s, so she was still on the I know better than you do kind of thing that teenagers do.
Yeah, and not just that, like, I mean, young 20-year-olds do that, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, because of John, you can actually see that William actually has so much of Jamie in himself, but he also has a lot of John in him, too. So, William is still pretty young, so he has a lot of growing up to do still. But it's going to be nice to see him, you know, grow before our eyes, because we have at least one more novel coming.
Well, yeah, it'd be nice if, you know, maybe you would have read some of the later novels, because then maybe you would have known this. I'm teasing, I'm sorry. Now, we want to know from you guys, because we like to hear feedback. Honestly, we really do. We want to know what you love most about John, which we got several comments. Gracie posted something asking people, and she got...
Yeah, a lot of people said his sense of humor, his loyalty, you know. So basically the same thing that we kind of went through today.
Exactly. And we also want to know what you think about the casting. What do you think about the casting, Gracie?
Honestly,
Be Still My Heart.
Oh man, like Sam Heughan is gorgeous, right? And Richard Rankin is gorgeous, but okay, I don't know what it is about David Barry, but that man, I was like, my breath was stolen. He is fine as wine in the summertime, let me tell you. So I also saw a video of him singing with his mates, and he has the voice of an angel. I wouldn't have been mad if they'd cast him as Roger, actually.
Really?
No, I would not have minded at all. So I will be very glad to see him all dressed up in a mid-17th, 18th century wear, you know.
I can't wait to see it either. I can't wait for the next season. It's going to be great.
I know. We're still so far away.
So far. Several
so close.
Months. Droughtlander. We're going to keep trucking along with Droughtlander with as many topics as we can get. Now,
until
Gracie.
Until we exhaust them all.
Yeah. Now, Gracie, we need to know, what are those links?
Yeah, if you actually want to contact us, you can do so through our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/outlandersassenite page. You can contact us on Tumblr at outlandersassenite.tumblr.com. You can contact us through email at outlandersassenite@gmail.com. And of course, we also have our Facebook group, which is Outlander Sassenite.
All right.
And that's it.
Is that it?
That's it.
Oh, okay. Well, we should probably get going now.
Yep. See you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.